Okay, so let me start the session. Since it is very sunny outside, it's better to have a session outside. Or maybe you can go and see Paris rather than listening to my talk. But anyway, I discuss about the future solar neutrino experiments, and I first briefly overview the purpose of the future solar neutrino experiment. And mostly discuss about the recent detector developments, and which doesn't mean that I cover entire detector efforts, and it is a subjective. I picked up the subjective selections. So this simply reminds you the fact we know about the flux suppression of LMA. For very low energy solar neutrinos, it is a vacuum oscillation, and the mixing, the suppression is written in the vacuum formula. And then the energy above a few MeV, then it becomes to the matter oscillation, and asymptotically, it becomes the sine square theta here. So these three lines shows the three different points of the mixing angle. With the same delta M scale, it is the best fit before the neutrino disconference. So PP and beryllium 7 neutrinos has about 60% suppression, and then the higher energy neutrinos, the suppression ranges from 20 to 40%. So the effect of the mass difference make only small difference in the uptown of the spectrum, so you are not really able to distinguish this much difference in the measurement of the spectrum uptown. So the aim of future solar neutrino experiment is stated by many people already, and it is important to confirm LMA or find some leading effect other than LMA. And also, we have to make the precise determination of the mixing angle and the mass difference. So boron 8 neutrinos, it is well studied, but we have not yet observed the low energy uptown and day night effect. It is very important to observe it, and that contributes also to determine those oscillation parameters in probably future large detectors. So the precise measurement of low-energy solar neutrino is pretty very much important to observe the matter-to-vacuum transitions from 1 MeV to the few MeV region. So that might clarify the chlorine problem, which is the flux of which is about 2 sigma lower. And also those low energy neutrinos combining with the very precise flux determination calculation, especially for the PP neutrinos, makes the good prediction of the neutrino oscillation parameter. So those are the list of subleading effect, but I probably will not go through in detail in my talk. And the next speaker supposed to cover the astrophysical aspect of the future solar neutrino experiment. So this is the expected upturn of boron 8 neutrino, especially for the electron scattering. So these three mixing angle, then this here I plot the data of SK1. So as the Nakahata in this morning mentioned, and we rather prefer to larger mixing angle. Otherwise, data start to contradict with those best fit parameters. So this is the expected energy upturn in snow. Then the same notation in the color. Then we also plotted the SK electron scattering uptown. So SK electron scattering, you have about 10% effect. And snow, for best fit parameter, should have 20% effect. Okay. But as I said before, the difference in mass difference will not contribute a lot in electron scattering at SK, but you might see some difference in the snow data. So actually, the snow and the SK didn't observe the spectrum upturn in their data yet. Sorry for the, this is not the latest data, but anyway. So this is the reason might be limited by the data quality, or maybe the consequence of the larger mixing angle, or something wrong, or something unknown happening. So spectral measurement is very, very difficult. So systematic error is roughly 3%, correlated systematic error is 3%, both for snow and SK. But this may be okay to see the 10% or 20% effect. But the background is very serious for the super K, and also for the snow, you must be very careful about the correlation to obtain the spectrum shape distortion. So both experiment and statistically limited, so need very, very large detector in future. So megaton scale detector can be made probably only by the Volokh-Cherenkov detector. You may have disagree, and there may be other technique. But suppose we have the megaton Volokh-Cherenkov detector. So I have tested with different conditions for systematic error and background. So the systematic error is same as SK, 1/2, 1/4, and background is same as SK, 30% and 50%. Then made some kind of statistical test to obtain the probability to get more than 1 sigma or more than 2 sigma or more than 3 sigma. For example, suppose you get the super, super good systematic control, then you get somehow after the 5 megaton year of learning, you get definite the signature better than 3 sigma at the 95% probability. So how about the day-night effect? Both SK and snow haven't observed that yet. Then for SK, it is an effect of 1 to 3%, but the observation is consistent with the error of the experiment. And for snow, much better to expect to 2 to 6%. However, the result is still not significant. So this is the contour of the day-night flux difference in as a function of zenith angle direction and energy of neutrinos. So it is prominent, it goes to higher energies, and if you look at the core region. If you slice this scatter plot as a function of energy, then it goes like this way. So is it possible to measure this kind of fine detailed structures? The answer is no. Of course, electron scattering events smear out this kind of effect by the kinematics. So maybe charge current interactions in snow should have better sensitivity, but however, it is not, because we have the energy resolution smearing in any case. So for SK resolution, this is the observed energy slice for SK resolution, then this is the zenith angle. Then this is, if you improve the SK resolution, you still couldn't see this fine structure. Even for snow, with the energy smear out, then you couldn't see the detailed structure. So fine structure around the core washed out, so you are not able to see it. Fine structure near the surface partially remains due to a path phase matching in the starting energy range. However, this effect is 1 to 2% and 2 to 3% for charge current. So it is very difficult in statistical obtain a statistical meaning, right? So for example, we need the 10 to 20 megaton year to see it, so it is impossible. So large water Cherenkov detector, simple day-night ratio is also mostly effective. Then the ultimate sensitivity is determined by systematics. So large water Cherenkov, we suppose we get the systematic error of 0.4%, so you get 4 to 5 sigma effect. However, it determines the mass range somehow in this region, in this era, in this amplitude. So low energy, if you look at the low energy, so we have a data only measuring the integrated flux. Gallium, the data has a 7% error. Chlorine has 9% error. The uncertainty from the prediction is 9% and 20%. So measurement is already better than the prediction. However, if you combine this error, gallium measurement has a 12% error, but we state it is consistent with oscillation. But for chlorine data, the combined error is 23%. Then, but we say 2 sigma low, but I don't know. So we need a good measurement, but most of these flux uncertainty in gallium and chlorine is not coming from PP and not coming from barium 7. It's mostly coming from the barium 7 for gallium, and the chlorine error is mostly coming from the boron 8. So if you able to measure the PP neutrinos, which has 1% uncertainty, and the precise study at the level of 2% is become possible. For barium 7, the uncertainty is 12%, flux uncertainty is 12%. So if we really like to do the precise study, we need both electron scattering and charge current interactions. So I may skip this kind of things very quickly, and one of the motivation to measure PP neutrino is to find the contribution from stellae. So suppose we have two detectors running, then we get the kind of less than 5% sensitivity for the stellae composition contribution in the measurement of the PP neutrinos. So another good thing is to measure PP neutrino is that the PP neutrino measurement make the precise determination of the mixing angle. So suppose we have some detector running 5 years, then the accuracy we get is something like this. So precise determination of the PP neutrinos, PP experiment, which determines the mixing angle very precisely, and the Kamrand, which determines the delta M scale precisely. So both works together, and then you can get the precise determination of the oscillation parameters. So here, the list of experiment in the future. So barium 7 and both electron scattering and charge current interactions are proposed like this way. Then PP, then these are the experiment on our list. So Brexino, so you heard about the story and the previous speaker, so I skip. So this is another effort to observe barium 7 neutrinos in Kamran. So it gives you the 70 events per day at the 250 kV threshold. So background is a key issue. These are the background. So most programs coming from the krypton, they get reduced in 6-order magnitude, and then another background from red to 10, they also have to get reduced in 5-order magnitude. Others are reasonably well, could be achieved. So removal of krypton can be done with the nitrogen patch. Optimization of bubbling power is going on. Then the lead removal is tested with absorption or distillation. So this is what they have done for the silica gel. then they get the 95% reduction of red. Then for the distillation, they get kind of a result of 99.5% reduction for one pass, and they get 99.95% reduction for five passes. So if the required impurity is achieved, their data somehow look like this, then the remaining background may be determined by coming from the red to 10, but with for the alpha decay, okay? Which determines the level of threshold here or here. So then their schedule is something like this here, and they expected to start Kamran solar neutrino phase in 2007. So Kamran Delirium 7 is funded partially, and they hope to start observation 2007. So another experiment to measure Delirium 7 in child current interaction is the indium. Indium absorbs the neutrinos and emit prompt electrons, and 4.7 microsecond later, they give two gammas. So energy can be measured, and then it has the two-fold timing coincidence, also the two-fold spatial coincidence. So good signature to the experiment, and probably able to measure PEP and barium 7 and maybe CNO. But the indium itself has a beta decay to the ground state of tin, which is the most problem. And it required to make a very many segmentation of the detector. And I skipped the detail, but from the first studies, there is a consensus that barium 7 neutrino detection may be feasible, but PP neutrino detection is very, very difficult for indium experiment. So development of the liquid scintillator with good energy resolution is a key for the barium 7 measurement. So incidentally, we had an indium meeting at Cruz de France here in 1989, 15 years ago. Those are the participants. Some are already retired. So we have presented a new result on the indium-loaded detector at that time. So up to 12% indium loading, then 50% right amount, then long attenuation length of 1.5 meter. So we have demonstrated that we can measure the barium 7 neutrinos. So this is me. And he's Inoue and was graduate student, but he's now one of the leading physicists in Kamran. So these are the cells taken from the picture this side, but you can see that, you know, the character on the other side. So I sent the letter to John Bacall. John replied in like this way. Okay. So new development at BNL, Bell Lab, and to make the indium concentrate, indium loaded the scintillator. It has a high indium concentration of 7% with new solvent, a good bright yield of 40% of pseudocumene. So the long attenuation length of 9 meters is achieved. That is their claim. So chemically and optically stable for over 6 months. And based on this development, they propose the indium detector in the Kimberton mine. Okay. So another the things I like to comment is the snow with rigid scintillator to measure PEP and CNO. So for 600 tons, they get 3,000 PEP. They get 3,900 CNO per year. This is a background structure from Kamran's proposal. Then background go like this way. This is a background. So what is the issue? Key issue is the depth. So at the muon rate at Kamran is 26,000 per day, but the snow 70. So the background, this is cosmogenic, so that goes down to here. So start to be able to see those signals. That is their claim. So green, I got this right in this morning. Sorry, couldn't get it before. So they have made the, some kind of 1 kilogram rigid neon. So their experiment is to make the electron scattering, neutrino electron scattering to detect the PPO or beryllium 7 neutrinos. Then they set the beta source here, and they could see the two different time structure of the signal, the one from the singlet state and the one from triplet state. So they have a plan in this summer to test PMT put into the rigid nitrogen and also the purifying the neon. And they use the neutron and the alpha source and to see the different response of nuclear recoil or gamma such and such. So another effort of the PP neutrino measurement is the X-mass. So it is a rigid xenon scintillator. Then the 10-ton fiducial mass for solar neutrino detection, which gives the event rate of 10 and PP and 5 beryllium 7. Of course, this is a multipurpose detector. You can measure the dark matter and search for the double beta decay. So the characteristic of the detector is it has the very high photon yield, something like this. Then the density and higher Z and radiation length of 2.4 meter gives the self-shield against the externally coming background. Then it becomes a liquid and gas, so it has the various purification method. So it is probably easy to reduce the internal background. So no long life isotopes. The longest one is 36 days. Then it's easy for isotope separation and reasonable price. I don't know if this is reasonable price or not. We need 10 tons. So those three are the key issue. So self-sealed works something like this way. So you can get, say, 4 or 5 orders of magnitude reduction below the 500 keV. It is effective for solar neutrino and also for dark matter. But it is not effective for the double beta decay experiment. So strategy of the X-mass is something like this. We are now this stage, very small. The next stage is 1 ton. But this is dedicated for dark matter. It's a small in volume, and you are not able to measure the solar neutrino. It requires 10 tons for solar neutrino measurement. So we have another effort to make the double beta decay search, but it requires a very much different type of the detector currently doing. But okay. So this is our under study by the prototype detector. So it is 30 liter, then the 30 centimeter in cube. So using this kind of hot tube. So then test experiment is done. So it is the running of for 6 days and
normal run
for the background measurement. And we also have the gamma source run. Gamma rays are placed in the outside of the shield or inside of the shield. So this is the data placing the source in three different positions. Then this is the real data, and the vertex distribution is the real data, and agree with the Monte Carlo prediction. Then if you get the source from this direction, then this is a distance from this surface, like this way, then this shows how the event reduced as a function of the depth. So it agrees with both data and Monte Carlo agree, yes, and for two different sources. So I rather rush to it. So this is a background measurement. Then you can see in Monte Carlo and the real data, and self-sealed really works. So there is an excess in here, but then it turned out to be a krypton. with the concentration of 3 ppb. So also the gamma beta measurement and gives contamination of 2.2 ppb. So I skip these things. So summary of the measurement and the uranium, thorium, and krypton is something like this. Goal for the intermediate reactor is something like this. So we get then factor 30 and the factor 3000 reduction. But this can be achieved probably very easy way, because in the current system, we didn't make precise good effort to reduce it. So we have still many things to do. Then for krypton, we have the right kind of distillation. So the how distillation of krypton, to remove krypton works is that we make use of the boiling temperature difference. Then we set the kind of column like this. Then we injected the low xenon here. Then since we make the slight temperature difference, then concentration within this column is different. So higher concentration is here and lower concentration here. So you get you can throw away the higher concentration and you get purified xenon here. So processing speed is something like this. So we actually tested and with the xenon with non-concentration, then the off gas, we obtained about this much of the krypton. It's a constant, Then we get the purified xenon, but the level is below detection limit. So, but still, we proved the performance is 1/3300, and design value is 1/3000. I think we still have 2-3 minutes. I'm using up the discussion. Yeah. Sorry. So we also processed the 100 kilogram xenon in March 2004, which is used in the December 03 run. So we get the 300 ppb krypton as an off gas, which means this initial xenon has the 3 ppb, which is agree with the beta and beta plus beta gamma measurement. So I think we hope to get down to this level of the krypton. So next step, so background level is could be achievable, so but mostly the dark matter, because the solar neutrino, we require the mass of 100 tons and self-sealed of 30 centimeters. For 100, next stage is the 20 centimeter self-sealed, and we have very small fiducial volume. So this is the sensitivity for dark matter. So going back this way, this red line is our sensitivity. So towards solar neutrino, this is my last slide. External background can be reduced like this way. So you start to see PP neutrino like this way. So after, if you use the data with the 30 centimeter self shield, so there is a region and back, very much background clear, external. So internal background, we need some two order of magnitude reduction is necessary. So I think that's about it, and I'm sorry, and I'm really rushing in the end. So hope and the next generation solar neutrino experiments could give you more information about neutrino oscillation and other things.
Thank you. Thank you. We have time only for one or two questions. Yes.
Because you mentioned Lenz Solar, I'd like to point out that there was a group called Lenz R&D, which were involving American and European groups, which developed quite a lot of work trying to set up this kind of experiment. And after all the background measurement and all the development in liquid scintillators, the European part of this collaboration decided that it was probably too difficult to go on and so we decide to quit. Mm-hmm. Although I think that we mostly agree with your conclusion that beryllium-7 measurement only is probably within the end. See?
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions? Yes. One over here.
You only mentioned briefly the isotopic separation needed for the xenon PP neutrino experiment. What's the requirement in xenon 136 reduction, and what's the price of that enriched xenon?
Price is not much, and the price increased about 3 times the natural xenon. Then I think and I hope now we can do the experiment without isotope separation. So even though, because the spectrum is so much flat in that region, so we can allow some level of the contamination from the double beta, two neutrino double beta.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.